We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good Minute Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
All right, welcome in another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Robbie Hummel. And Rob, my week is over, thankfully. Thankfully, I can turn the page and start a new week.
This is a great intro.
It was a little bit of a rough week, but you know, you persevere, Rob.
That's right. You put your head down, you grind, you persevere. Listen,
it's kind of like going through, I felt like you going through a couple torn ACLs this past week.
This is the media version of a torn ACL.
Yeah. The rehab. Luckily, I don't have to do the rehab that you had to do.
Yeah, your rehab is shorter. Mine was, 7 months. Yours was 2 days.
I don't know.
Welcome back, Jeff. So that was good. And you know what? You even went on a road trip. So,
I did.
You got to see Allen Fieldhouse in a deal where they're playing a top 10 team. I think it's the best venue in college basketball.
Yeah.
What do you think of how Allen Fieldhouse showed itself this weekend?
It's so good, Rob. Like, as good as Duke is, as good as Assembly Hall is, as good as Mackey is, and like those are the like that come to my mind. They're like four of the top, three of the top. I just feel like there's something about Allen Fieldhouse that separates itself from everywhere else. I don't know if it's walking up to the place and you kind of get goosebumps, the video beforehand, but I think it's just the number of fans, and that it's not just the student section is incredible, absolutely incredible, but it's everybody else. Like at Duke, it's small. Everybody's on top of the players. That's what you see on TV, right? The crazies are on top of you. They're able to almost touch the players. And as media, we're front and center. We're mid-court, front row. It's awesome. Kansas, we're now up top a little bit, and it doesn't matter, Rob. Like, I feel like the atmosphere is just so electric. It's so loud in there all the time, and everybody's into it. It's not just the students that are at the highest level. And there's a ton of them at Kansas, and they were there, hours before, camping out, which is nothing new. Everybody, all the best places do that now. But man, the history, the tradition, and the fact that again, it's so loud in there. It's louder in there than any Purdue's probably second for me right now in terms of like.
No, I agree.
Atmosphere.
I agree. I did a game at Kansas. It was like Dean Wade, Kamau Stokes, Kansas State team. Bruce Weber's team split the Big 12 with Kansas that year. And I did it for radio. It was an ESPN game. And we were sitting on kind of where the sideline meets the baseline. So at one of the corners, essentially, right by the band. And my ears rang for like a day. And it was probably because the band was there, but still – I was blown away by the level of noise. I have a video on my phone of right before tip off, and it is so chaotic,
right.
But it's so awesome.
Yes.
And I think Purdue is too as well. I think Duke would be there. I think Indiana would be there, but there's no doubt to me that Allen Fieldhouse and with the museum aspect of it,
You get everything, Rob.
They've got so much cool stuff in the concourse that is goes back to the beginning of the invention of basketball. It's just like the, and then also the history of Kansas. You know, you look at who's played there and you're like, dude, there have been.
You walk down the hallway. Dude, you walk down the hallway, all those jerseys, and I don't know, you know, you go to the practice court beforehand. It's just.
No, it's the real deal.
And they were
why was Kansas able to handle Houston the way they did?
Well, early on, I actually think Hunter was kind of the key in a way, because again, you throw the ball into Hunter and they were doubling on the pass every time. And
he had good practice last year dealing with that.
He did. He had a lot of
getting doubled every time last year.
But like Kansas is full of what I felt like are not non-shooters, but not great shooters. Okay. But you know the difference between getting an uncontested shot and a contested shot. And now you're talking about when Hunter's moving the ball as quick, his decision-making was elite. So he would get out of the post quick, and then they would reverse the ball. And then you talk about Johnny Furphy getting an open one, you know, Harris getting a wide open one. And then you start making them, and you're at Allen Fieldhouse. And these guys had heard it, honestly, for probably a week or two. I talked to Harris after the game, and he's like, yeah, like, I know people were counting us out. People were saying that we weren't a Final Four team anymore. You know, they lost some bad games, right? I mean, on the road, West Virginia, you know, on the road, UCF, people are like, well, this Kansas team doesn't look the part. But when they're clicking, and Bill Self said this to me after the game, when they're clicking, they're as good as anybody in the country. Their starting five is as good now with Johnny Furphy emerging as anybody. Like that kid, man, he's their best shooter. He's the guy now, and he doesn't hesitate now, Rob.
And it needed to be him, or it needed to be my man, the transfer, who has not played
Timberlake,
well.
Who doesn't play.
I mean, it needed to be one of those two, and it's been Furphy, right?
Oh, Furphy's like a first-round pick now. Like he's long. He can shoot it. He moves the ball. He makes good decisions. He's tough. Now, he's not strong enough, but like Houston wasn't able to take advantage of that, right? Sharp was on Furphy, and Sharp's given up a few inches. And instead of trying to go in and back Furphy down and use your physical, you know, play, he was fading away. He was taking these fadeaways. And I'm like, I get it. Because again, Furphy, the one thing he has is length. So, but I think certain guys will be able to take advantage of him. Houston didn't, and Kansas, they made 9 of their first 10. A lot of them were shots that Kelvin Sampson said, like, he wanted Kansas to take. They made them. And then once they make them, man, that crowd.
Well, yeah, then they're rolling, right? It's a different deal once that place gets going.
I felt like the other night, Saturday, it was worth like 8 points. I honestly did. I felt like it was worth 8 points, which sounds insane. But, you know, again, the problem for me still lies in, like, the tournament. Does Kansas have enough depth? Do they have enough depth that if Furphy's
What would you say they're going? Are they rolling six deep right now? Maybe seven? I guess seven with Brown?
Brown was good. He made the biggest
shot. Is he their seventh man?
Yeah, El Marco, Brown, Timberlake. That's six, seven, eight. And Timberlake really doesn't give him anything right now. So you're talking – seven. And Brown, if he does what he did the other day, I mean, he comes in, he bangs a three when Houston had cut it and put a little bit of game pressure on him. And I said to Bill after the game, I'm like, you know, huge shot by Parker. He looks at me, he's like, that was his first three all year. His assistants were like, no, coach, that wasn't his first.
I feel like with coaches, sometimes there's certain details like how you pronounce their player's last name or like something like that, where they're so locked into certain things and other things that you'd think would be easy. They're like, yeah, that's his first three. And he's made like five.
Right. It was so funny. I need to look it up now, how many Parker's made. But like Bill was like, yeah, first three all year. And like Norm Roberts and Curtis, like, no, coach. Like, he's made a few. He's made a few.
So, I got it right here. He's actually shooting 43% from three this year. What?
How many did he made? Three.
No, he's only attempted.
That was his third.
Seven. He's three of seven from three. But he's shooting 43% from three. He's like, yeah, it's first three of the year.
Right.
That's such a, like, head coach thing to – one of those weird details that even though they know everything else that's going on,
right.
He doesn't know how to pronounce his last name, and he does, you know, he butchers what his 3-point percentage is.
I just feel like, and McCullough wasn't like great, but you still look at it at the end, he had 17 points. He does what he does, right? He fills up the stat sheet. He put, you know, the thing about them is, again, if they go again, Houston's not overly deep also. They're not. And the kid Francis got hurt. Nothing serious. He'll be back tomorrow. But, you know, Kelvin, the one thing he said, and he made a great point after the game, he's like, listen, he goes, first of all, the fact that they had Kansas as an underdog here is sacrilegious. He's like, Kansas should never be an underdog. He's like, basically, I knew we were done. When Kansas is an underdog, I knew we had no chance in this game. But I think he felt like, okay, you know what? We get them back at our place later in the year. And, like, I still think, and somebody asked me this on pregame radio for Kansas, they're like, who do you think wins the Big 12? And at that point, Texas Tech was in the driver's seat. Obviously, they've lost now two this week, including one at home yesterday. I said, I think Kansas and Houston share the title at the end of the day. I'm not giving up on that. I think this league is such a buzzsaw of a league. Nobody's running away with it. Kansas isn't good enough to run away with it. Houston isn't good enough to run away with it. I wonder, and I heard Matt McCall ask this question, Rob. I'm curious to know your thoughts. He asked it last night on After Dark. Do you think the buzzsaw of this league is going to impact any of these teams, whether it's Kansas, Houston? Those are the two teams that you think probably have a chance to do some real damage in the NCAA tournament. Right. Do you think it hurts them or helps them?
I mean, it could go either way. You hear the conversation, like the iron sharpens iron type thing, and there's something to be said for that. You come out of the Big 12, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, kind of their non-conference. How legit was it from like the net ranking standpoint?
Yes.
And that's an interesting topic, because I think you look at a lot of these teams, and outside of maybe a few, it's a lot of games against teams in the 250s, 300s, and they've just dominated.
Especially Iowa State and TCU are two that stood out.
Yes,
to me.
TCU, I did their game in December, and until they played Clemson, they had played nobody.
Right.
Like, that was their biggest test, and Clemson's good. This league is insane. You know, you think about having to – the bottom is Oklahoma State.
West Virginia.
And you look at pretty much everybody else, and you're thinking there's no – get right game where you're like, well, we'll just waltz in here and we'll win. You know, like, Texas is talented. They're 4-5 in the league. I think that there's certainly something to be said about that, where you've grinded so hard for 3 months or 2.5 months. It can wear you out. Yeah.
Especially a team like Kansas, Rob, that's not overly,
it's not deep. Like they're 10 deep, right? Like, they don't have, and Houston, I don't think is all that deep either. So, That's a very interesting point. I think it could go either way. I think it's an interesting discussion point, but we really won't know.
Here's my question. Here's a question too. At 21 years old.
That's the thing though. These dudes are 20 years old. So they're
in like the prime of. Are you getting tired if you're playing 35 minutes every night? Are you tired at the end of the year?
I think as long as you're not a freshman, Jeff, I think if you have been through this.
Yeah.
And you've got the resources that these schools do from a nutrition, from a strength and conditioning standpoint. And that stuff has come such a long way, even in the last 15 years. I think you can be in college basketball 7 or 8 deep and play your starters heavily and still be okay as long as you've got good players. I really do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
Especially with the timeouts in the tournament. Rob. And you got those long timeouts in the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah, the recharging stations that are the 4-minute timeouts, right? Like, yes, you do.
How much did you love those your final year after your knee injuries?
I was in good shape, though. Even though my knee was still not, like, back to feeling like it was 100%, I was in good shape. I just, you know, I didn't have any lift.
You still liked them. Don't lie. You still like those timeouts.
I mean, you'll take any type of rest you can get when you're fighting for your life against Thomas Robinson and the Kansas Jayhawks. So it's, you know, you'll take.
T-Rob was wearing your ass out. T-Rob had a vertical of like 40, and you could barely.
I mean, he might have been physically wearing me out, but I had 26 points or whatever I had. So I, unknown. What's your biggest concern with Houston going forward? Now, defensively,
not enough firepower. Not enough.
The offense has to be the question, right?
When your defense isn't elite, which it will be most nights. Like, I'm not worried about
it. I mean, they're still number one defensive efficiency on KenPom.
Yes. I just feel like – and Jamal Shedd looked like he was, like, point shaving at time. I mean, he just wasn't good. He just had
That's going to lead us to our next topic of the koozie list, but keep going, and then we'll get there.
I want to talk about that, too. I want to talk about who was omitted from that list.
Well, there's two names that are pretty staggering.
Yes. No, actually, you're going to be right on this one. But Shedd finally had an off game, and it was an inopportune time to have an off game. And Sharp was just okay. I mean, they just didn't play a good game other than they came out in the second half and they did what they do, right? They hit the offensive glass. They came back. I think they held their own in the second half. But it was too late at that point. I mean, you can't dig yourself a hole like that at Allen Fieldhouse and expect to come back and win. But I just don't think Cryer was bad in the first half, and then he carried him in the second half. You know, Arsenal not being there, I feel like is having a major impact, will have a major impact on Houston's ability to win the whole thing. Can they get to the Final Four? Absolutely. You know, Kansas, it's funny because, like, I said they can't win six straight, and then I keep thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, like, how many teams are they going to go up against that I'm like, they can't beat or I wouldn't have them favored? Like, yeah, if they don't have to see Purdue or UConn, they could get to the national title game, right? Yeah. Like, why not? And then who the hell knows? So, you know, I have a different view on Kansas now after seeing them in person play the way they did and watching Johnny Furphy in person now compared to when I saw him even, I don't know, what was that, 6 weeks ago at Indiana? Like, he looked lost. He looked lost.
He had been hurt. He'd been hurt and got there late. I mean, there's a lot of – so you have to think his improvement is going to be fairly rapid if he is that level of player, which it appears that he is.
I like Houston. I don't love Houston. I will throw them in the same hat that I'll throw a lot of other teams in, that they have a chance to get to the Final Four. But again, who knows if Purdue and UConn, like, one of those two teams probably gets knocked off before the Final Four. I don't think both of them get there. You know, they're the co-favorites right now, but, like, I could see one of them getting knocked off, one of them getting the Final Four, and then the road, right? How it gets paved for some of these teams.
Yeah.
But, man, like, those are two elite coaches that, and I've said this before, like, they've kept their kind of old school approach, and it's still able to work in a time when it's really hard to make it work these days with NIL, with the portal.
Well, they both still really get after their guys. Now, they have the clout, the respect, and the, like, acumen to do it.
Yeah.
You can't just be, like, a fourth-year head coach at a mid-major and do what those guys do. But they are, like, they're two of the I guess, rare breeds that still can do that stuff. And
Who are the ones? Let's think about it right now. The coaches that gets Izzo, Self.
Kelvin. I mean, Brad Underwood yells at those guys a lot.
He gets out.
He comes from the Huggins school of thought, Frank Martin school of thought.
Yep. I mean, would you put Dan Hurley in there?
Yes.
Right? I mean, he gets after his players
like that.
Uh-huh. Right. I think Hurley's like that. I'm looking at other, like,
how much does Bruce Pearl yell at the players?
He's
fiery, like, the coach, but he's not getting after
him. He and Nate Oates are a different type, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, they're tough. They'll get after him, but they're not. I wouldn't put him on the Izzo, Self, Kelvin, Hurley. I'm trying to think who else is in that.
How much does Cal yell at the players?
Yeah, Cal does. Cal gets after him pretty good. He gets after him pretty good. But there aren't that many. There aren't that many. You look at the new school.
I mean, I'm just scrolling through the list of, like, top 100 teams, and I don't think it's like.
You know who gets after his players? Rick Barnes.
Yes, he does.
He gets after his players. He's old school.
Yeah. Well, one of his point guard is on the Cousy list. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, Zakai Ziegler on the Cousy list.
Here, I'll name the 10 finalists.
Yeah, go ahead. Read them down. Colorado
State, Jamal Shedd, Houston, DeJuan Harris from Kansas, Tyler Kolick, Marquette, Javon Quinterly of Memphis, Boo Booey, Northwestern, Zakai Ziegler of Tennessee, Max Asemus, who plays the two for Texas, Wade Taylor at Texas A&M, and Tristan Newton of UConn. So
there's a name. There's a name that's not on there, Rob, that I think should be, honestly, might win the whole thing.
You think? Who makes this list?
I'm going Kolick's number one still. All right. I'm still saying I would take Tyler Kolick if you gave me the opportunity over any point guard on this list, but I would say it's close now. Like, there's probably five or six guys that are all right there, and one of them isn't on this list, and it's Braden Smith of Purdue.
Well, who made this terrible list is what I want to know.
There's, like, they didn't – they might have sent me an email. Years ago, I used to pretty much make the list, and I stopped.
In your prime.
In my prime. I'm well past my prime now. They still send me emails, and I forgot to get back to them on this one. Generally, I'll get back to them with like the final five. Final five.
Maybe your vote is why Braden Smith, and I'm going to throw Jameer Young out there, not being on this, is also a tragedy.
Well, like you said, Max Asemus is not a point guard. Javon Quinterly should not be on this list.
Ziegler, I don't feel like time, should be on this list.
Ziegler shouldn't be on this list.
No, he should not.
Those Asemus, Quinterly, Ziegler, replace him with Braden Smith for sure. I don't know who else is not.
I think Jameer Young is a lock to be on this. His last six road
tournament team, though.
No, I hear you, but his last six road games, he's averaging 29 a game. He's literally carrying their offense.
Yeah, I just
I think he should be on here. And then I just, you know, you look at even like the Ziegler thing, Braden Smith, more assists. I think he averages more points. Braden Smith is 12.4. Ziegler 10 points. So Braden Smith averages more points, more rebounds, more assists, and beat Ziegler head to head. And they put Ziegler on the list and not Braden Smith. What Matt Painter said is so accurate. He said it's like they put a bunch of names in a hat, like the Indiana sectional, and just drew names. And they're like, oh, yep, Max Asemus, two guard, here he is. I mean, even like you look at the list as well, like Mark Sears has had an incredible year. You could argue he's a two. He didn't make any of the lists. So it's like, do the people that make the list even watch the games?
You know, I think, again, to me, Asemus is the one that has no right being on. And, I know Quinterly was good for a while there, but, like, he was benched. They've lost four in a row. Now, they probably voted on this 2 weeks ago and probably just put it out today. But, like, you know, other names, Lipsy at Iowa State's been awesome this year. Awesome. You can make a case for him on there. Ray J. Dennis has been really good at Baylor.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel
think
like,
about this. Like, even if you're – so let's say you're making a case for Jameer Young. Yep. Young's now averaging just under 21 points a game, just under five rebounds, four assists.
Yeah.
And you've got Javon Quinterly, who averages 7 points less rebounds, and only 0.9 assists more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and Memphis is in – they're in a free fall. The fact that they won Wichita State on Saturday was a miracle.
Would you say if you're taking a point guard on your team right now and you're starting your team, would you take Braden Smith and why? Like, give me your case for why you would take Braden Smith. Because you can make a case over, like, Steven Shedd.
No, Steven Shedd, guys. Harris, his stats, I don't think – he runs the team. He's a national champion. Fine. I'll roll with that. Kolick, really good. Quinterly should not be on it. Boo Booey has been phenomenal. He should be there.
Yep.
Ziegler, I don't think he should be on the list. Asemus isn't even a point guard. Wade Taylor, I'm with, and Tristan Newton, I'm with.
Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider the level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast. It really is that simple.
Well, wait, Taylor's an interesting one too, because he's the ultimate scoring point.
Yeah, he's on, getting buckets.
When he's on, he's incredible. When he's off, he is awful. Like, there's not a lot in between with him.
Right. Why would I take Braden Smith? Yeah. I think the combination of scoring and finding his teammates has been phenomenal. He's murdered drop coverage.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good when teams have tried to push up and give him more of a hedge. His passing is tremendous. He I think sets a good tempo or pace for Purdue. He's clearly one of the best 5-point guards in the country. There is no doubt in my mind about that. And I think when you look at head to head, he's beaten a lot of guys on this list. He's beaten Tyler Kolek.
Yep.
He's beaten Boo Booey. Now they've split with Northwestern. He's beaten Zakai Ziegler. So I'm just like blown away that a group of people that claim to be experts on basketball could have a list that is this shitty.
Yeah, it's not great. I don't know who voted. I don't know how many people. They probably sent it out to a bunch of different people. Like I said, they used to send it to me of like, hey, here's the list. Here's our 10. Who did we really screw up on? Who did we have to move off? Whatever. They don't do that. They probably do it to somebody else right now. And I would have said, Azmus, no chance. No chance, put him on.
I mean, I would take Tyrese Hunter's their point guard.
Yeah, I mean, Azmus should be on the two-guard list. Jerry West list. That's what he is. And that's where, again, you got to – I don't know. It is what it is. But, all right, so Purdue, one of the things – that I want to talk about today was some pushback going on out there about the Boilermakers, who, oh, by the way, just went into Madison and got a road win to further the idea that they are 1A or 1B with UConn. I have them ranked number one. I think they deserve it based on the resume. But again, you can make a case, and I can make a case for UConn being the better team. I think it's splitting hairs at this point. I'd love to see it. I think most people would love to see that as their national title game. Like, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you love to see?
No, I would. I would.
Those two big boys go at it.
It'd be a phenomenal game, and the matchups would be really fun to talk about. And I hope that happens.
So Zach Edey gets some shit for his defense. Like he dominates in the offensive end, and you know, defensively, a couple years ago, I don't want to say he was a liability, but he wasn't nearly as good as he is now, which makes sense because he was fairly new to the game. Right, probably still only been playing the game competitively for about 6-7 years at this point. But again, there's been some naysayers, Rob, saying that Zach Edey is a liability on the defensive end. What say you to them?
I talked to a Big Ten coach within the last week about this, and he said that his defense changes everything about how you have to attack Purdue. So
Why?
I think that's a terrible take.
Yeah.
I think he's been really good this year. Protecting the rim, he made a big stride last year. I thought the jump he made as a sophomore to a junior of not fouling, verticality, and defending the rim was really good. And this year, I feel like he's made the jump of, you know, Purdue's scheme is going to be drop coverage. He's not going to hedge. He's not going to be up to touch. He's going to be in the drop, and that's okay. You know, you have to have guards that can get over the top. Lance Jones has helped in that regard, I think. But in the drop this year, we have seen Edey do a lot of late switching where you'll see the guard gets over the top of the screen. If he's behind or it's late in the clock, the guard just snaps back to basically Edey's man, and Zach will take on the ball handler. And I think he's done a great job this year at either staying in front or on the times where he does get beat, staying in the play and blocking shots. You know, he's top five in blocks. He alters game plans. Yep. He definitely is in the back of people's minds when you drive to the rim. I think he's a lock to make the all-defensive team in the Big Ten. So to say that he's a bad defender, it's unfathomable to me.
So he is not what we talked about with Kofi Coburn, Oscar Tshiebwe, some of these bigs, and you saw them plenty, that, again, once they got into the NCAA tournament, they could be really taken advantage of from a defensive standpoint. You know, we saw it with Loyola Chicago against Illinois and Kofi. You don't feel like Purdue.
Well, don't get me wrong. I still think that, like, if he has to guard Rink Mast,
yeah,
that could be a problem for him because Mast, you know, Mast was pretty good last night against Illinois. He's going to take you on the perimeter. It's going to be five out, dribble handoffs, pick and pops like that. The weakness of his game, and it's some of it's scheme based. Some of it's the fact that he's 7'4" and over 300 pounds, is that with a skilled five, it's going to be challenging. You know, like that's going to be a hard guard for him. Look at the way that they even guarded Wisconsin yesterday.
Yeah.
They put Edie on Wall and they put their four on Stephen Crowell because their thought is, well, Wall's a driver. Yeah. He's a guy that scores from within 5 feet. Crowell can pick and pop and we'll just trap off Wall and post double Stephen Crowell, you know, like, so I think that he guarded Ty Rogers, you know, and is really the only center who has done a good job in that matchup. And I think some of that speaks to Ty Rogers maybe not having his greatest performance, but a lot of it is Edie guards better than any other centers that he has seen do that. So I can't believe that that's a take, honestly.
By the way, the other thing I've come around on with Purdue, here's the biggest thing I've come around on, honestly, over the last month or so, is Lance Jones.
He is a beast. Yesterday, I didn't get to see the whole game, but the end of the game, beast.
Well, he's exactly what if you're Matt Painter, you signed up for, because now Braden Smith has shown that he can handle the point guard duties. Like, he doesn't need somebody to help him.
I want to remind you, you had some big questions about that coming into the season.
Of course, because again, like, we saw the end of the year last year, right?
No, I know.
He wore down. I think number one, he wore down. And then I thought, honestly, mentally, he wore down and it affected him and it hurt him in the tournament and down the stretch.
Man, you're a freshman. It's hard.
Yes.
Your first season of college basketball.
That didn't have
like,
a preseason. Rob, he didn't have a preseason like other freshmen. He was hurt. So I get it. I'll tell you what, early in the season with Lance Jones, I was like, oof. Some games, he looks like a world beater. Other games, man, he did not know what a good shot or a bad shot was.
Well, he took a lot of deep threes at Southern Illinois last year.
Yes. I felt like he thought he was still at Southern Illinois.
Yeah. And like, I asked Marcus Damask last night before I interviewed him after the game, you know, what was your guys' record last year? Because they had those two. And I think they've got a dude this year that was on the team last year that's really playing well. And he told me that they won, he thought, 23 games. And he goes, if Frank Mast hadn't hit a three, we would have won the league title or something like that. But their talent was pretty impressive in Carbondale last year. I agree. He is a game changer for Purdue. The burst, the transition aspect, defensively, he gives them something that they did not have last year.
Huge. I mean, huge. And he's been efficient now. Like, other than the Rutgers from three game. Now.
He's 36 from three on the year now.
Yeah, take away the Rutgers game, right? And, like, he's probably close to 40%. What's he shooting from the field?
He is shooting.
Got to be decent, right? I mean, it's got to
be. I think it's solid. I think, let's see. He is 43 from the field, 36 from three. In league play, he is shooting. League play, that is 42 from the field and 38 from three.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Just gives them another weapon that they didn't
have. Purdue just, they can put so many shooters around, around Edie, and it's tough to guard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There is nothing in sports better than the heart of the college basketball season, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rhythm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rhythm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rhythm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rhythm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college hoops, where there are as many as 150 games a day during conference play. Many of which have softer lines at BetMGM than you'll find in the NFL or the NBA. With Rhythm, you get data-backed picks for every Division I game every day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. And for those of you already using modeling, you can build custom sports betting models within the Rhythm app itself. I am a Rhythm user, and I found that I've been a better when I focus on lines where my gut and Rhythm's modeling are aligned. When I think UConn can cover on the road against Butler and Rhythm backs that up, we fire. But Rhythm also helps lead you to plays that you didn't know you needed to make. Like, for example, when the data says bet the over in UMass Lowell versus New Hampshire because you have a 61% edge on that line, you bet the over and you bink. So if you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description below and download Rhythm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks.
Hey, so I'm really still in mourning over Indiana's loss to Penn State at home. I got to tell you, I want to get to Indiana home games so I can see my daughter. And now I feel like the only way I get there is to see the women's team, which I'm going to see in a few weeks when Caitlin Clark goes out there. And but to go out for a men's game.
Before we get into that, the crowds that Caitlin Clark is drawing are insane.
Insane, isn't it?
It's impressive.
I can't wait. I mean, I can't wait to see her.
I mean, she's got some Michael Jordan effect going where, like, every road arena she sells out. That's crazy.
Crazy. I mean, absolutely nuts. And she's the most exciting player in all of college basketball.
She's the most famous college athlete.
Yes.
I mean, she's got State Farm commercials with Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
And, you know, like, that's.
So she's going to break the record. She's going to break, I think it's Kelsey Plum's record.
It's Kelsey Plum's record, yeah.
She's going to break it the game before I see her, most likely, which kind of sucks. But
it does. You get to bask in the aftermath of it.
Anyway, Indiana loses at home to Penn State. They're up double figures at one point. They end up losing by, I think, 15 points.
Lost by 14. 14.
To a Penn State team that didn't have their leading scorer, by the way. Right. Their best player. Well, maybe not their best player, but their leading scorer, Cleary. Yep. And there are boos, I'm told, at the end of the game for the team, for Mike Woodson. Obviously, he's one of their own. This thing has gone to a place where now they're basically 500 in league play under Woodson. You know, they've won one tournament game. They won one in the first four, but in the main bracket, they've won one tournament game. This year, obviously, they're not making the NCAA tournament right now. Their net's somewhere around 100.
They just don't have that many opportunities left. I mean, Ohio State would be a quad one road. They're 64th. Done. Purdue's obviously quad one away. Well, Northwestern's that'd be quad two at home. Nebraska's quad two.
Listen, you're wasting time. You're wasting time going through.
They do have like three more quad one opportunities.
They're not winning. They're not winning. So it's irrelevant. Irrelevant. Here's my question to you. How much faith do you have in Mike Woodson getting this thing right? And what do you do if you're Woodson and his staff in Indiana try to get this back on track? I think he'll get one more year.
Yeah. I'm under the assumption Khalil Ware is gone. I would think he's
gone. 100%
pick.
100%.
Mackenzie Mbako will be interesting. Probably should come back to school, but might go. I think Malik Renew's back for another year. You lose Galloway. You lose Xavier Johnson.
Is Galloway out of eligibility?
I thought he was. Maybe he has one more year COVID-wise. He might have a COVID.
I bet he's got one more.
Okay, he might have a COVID year. Which, he's a good player, I think, as long as his role is what, you know, it was last year, his role was perfect. And I think he played so well in it. And I think this year, maybe it's just, it's a different type
of. It's his fourth year up. He has one more year.
Okay. So he has one more year. Yeah. I just think he's got to go to the portal, and he's got to find not just the most talented players, but guys that can fit together. And he's got to get more perimeter skill. They need a point guard that can be high level. You know, they need a really good point guard, and they need some shooting around these guys. And if you can get some shooting around Malik Renew and a guy that can run the show with the portal, you can turn this around quickly. But I think there's going to have to be a different approach. Like this year in the portal, all right, Khalil Ware, no question, very talented. I think he's played well. I think he's played much harder. Good get. Anthony Walker, how does he fit around Mbako, Renew, and Ware? You know, like, he's an athlete, but you would have been much better served to go out. And look, they thought Xavier Johnson would be healthy, and they thought he'd be one of the best point guards in the league, and that has not worked out. He's not been healthy. He has not played well.
You know, what's strange is, hey, Rob, what's strange is that they couldn't get another point guard, and it should have been easy in a way, because there was a stretch there where you didn't know if Xavier Johnson was even going to be eligible.
No, that's a great point. But again, and I didn't, you also bring in Peyton Sparks. So you brought in a center, a power forward.
They didn't need Walker. They got Sparks right away. He's a local kid. He played.
Well, and he's got multiple years. You can have him for, I think, 2 or 3 years.
Walker was the one that made no sense. If you took Sparks, then you don't need Walker, and you needed another guard that could honestly play both guards.
Well, and also, Jeff, think about if Mackenzie Mbako, Filipowski does not return to Duke, and Mackenzie Mbako stays as a Duke commit, this roster would be, I mean,
bad.
It would be crazy without him.
Yes.
So I just think that there needs to be a pivot in approach of players that you're going after. Point guard is essential. Have to get a point guard. Yeah. Have to add skill. And if you can do that, if you can keep Renew, I feel like Indiana can be much better. I think he's a really good player. He's really improved. Renew. Yep. But you've got to get some skill and someone to run the show around him if he comes back next year.
And you need, like, the guys coming off the bench, like, they're fine. Like you said, Galloway, Leal, some of these guys coming off the bench are fine.
I mean, like, Leal is, he had a good game. Who would they beat? Iowa game. He played well there. Yep. They got 3 bench points from CJ Gunn, Anthony Walker, and Anthony Leal against Penn State. It's not good enough. Honestly, for Indiana, that's not good enough.
All right, Gonzaga. Let's finish here a little bit on the Zags. And they lost to St. Mary's. And my Gales, who you wrote up. I mean,
you're feeling better. But the sad thing is their non-conference was so terrible, they probably have to win the league tournament.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
You think?
That's blasphemous.
Really?
I think they're in today. I don't think they're like a lock, but I think they're – have you looked at some of the resumes of these teams?
I mean, I've not deep dived. No. I get they lost to Missouri State at home, Boise State on a neutral, Utah's 40. Xavier neutral, San Diego State. So Weber State and Missouri State would not be good losses at home.
No. I'm not saying
they have won 9 straight games. That's impressive. They have risen.
Well, I mean, again, a win against Gonzaga is not a win against Gonzaga like it has been, right? I mean, this is a Zags team that now, Rob, is in jeopardy of ending Mark Few's streak. And that streak is every year since he's been the head coach, they've gotten to the NCAA tournament. And right now, I actually think Gonzaga, who lost at home to St. Mary's Saturday night, has to beat St. Mary's on the road when they play him, that might not be enough. To be honest, that might be – I think the West Coast Conference tournament is going to be awesome because
– a lot on the line.
Both of those teams are going to feel like they need to win it to be able to breathe easy to get it.
Yeah, to feel good about it.
Right. And I don't know. I wonder, and I said this before the year, Rob. I actually said this before the year. I'm worried about Gonzaga. And not just for this year, but going forward.
You're talking about the loss of Tommy Lloyd, right?
Yes. I'm talking about the loss of Tommy Lloyd and the fact that Mark Few, they're going to be able to get some dudes out of the portal every year, right? They got Nembhard this year where I thought he was going to end up going to Arizona. They got Graham Ike. but they're like seven deep. Now, Steele Venters was a guy who got hurt before the year, but like we don't know. He's an Eastern Washington transfer. We don't know what he was going to really give them this year. The roster was underwhelming. They don't have a dude. Obviously, they don't have a dude at all this year. And I just wonder if this is kind of the beginning of the slide that puts Gonzaga in a spot where they're not fighting for Final Fours and national titles and in the top 10 every week. But now they're a fringe top 25 team from here on. Who they may get lucky. They may, you know, like, again, listen, Few's an incredible coach. But I think I've always said to him, and the beauty of Mark Few is honestly his work-life balance is better than anybody's.
Yeah.
But now I think it could end up really catching up with him because he doesn't have Tommy Lloyd that can go overseas and go get some dudes. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've used LinkedIn many a times, and listen, I'm not good at this stuff, but this is about as easy as it gets, and I found the right people as well, so it's been absolutely perfect for me. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. It has a vast network of more than a million professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. Gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. Does all that while making the process, like I said, so easy. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats, might not have the time or resources to hire. So LinkedIn, constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched the feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/good. That's linkedin.com/good to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you looked at the net rankings for these two teams? Have you seen what they are?
Yeah, you have them?
I got it right here. St. Mary's is 21, which honestly, and it's 4-3 in quad one games. Now they do have need to make this bigger so I can see their quad. Do they have any bad losses?
For who? Gonzaga?
No, St. Mary's. So they're 4-2 in quad three and 7-0 in quad four. So they do the quad three is not great. Gonzaga's 27th. And they're 0-5 in quad one games. Right. Now, they have no bad losses, but they have no good wins either.
Nothing. That's why you need St. Mary's. They need to beat St. Mary's. They need St. Mary's to keep winning, and they need to beat St. Mary's in Moraga on the final game of the regular season on March 2nd, which really, like, it would be a great game to go to in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I know it doesn't have the national cachet, but man,
The first time, there's so much on the line. Yes. It was always a big game, but for this year, it for real is a big game.
Are you with me though? That like, do you worry about Gonzaga falling off a little bit here? From
I mean, they still are a big brand. They're always going to be a factor in the portal. They've shown that
they have NIL. They have NIL.
And they have NIL money. And just a couple, 2 years ago, we're watching Chet Holmgren, Drew Timmy. I mean that. And look, Tommy Lloyd was a big part of that. I still want to see it another year before I would say I'm out on that. But I hear what you're saying.
I'm just out as like them being high powered and having this highest end talent. But again, you know, Mark Few's 61 years old. I don't know. I see him as being a guy that, like, would it shock me if Mark Few said after the year I'm done? It would not shock me at all. It would not. Wow. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but I'm saying at some point Mark Few is going to be like, you know what? I'd rather just hang.
I've made enough money. I can hang at the lake. I can just
fish, watch my kids play ball. Like, yeah, no, do that's whatever fair. I want to do.
Before we finish, what are your thoughts on the new alliance, the Big Ten SEC alliance? Which, can you even trust an alliance like this when the last alliance, the Pac-12, was like, great deal, Big Ten and ACC, and then literally the Pac-12 doesn't even exist anymore. So how much faith do you put in the alliance, the new alliance?
I don't listen. Yeah, alliances do nothing for me because all these guys are out for themselves.
But do you think this is the end of of college hoops as we know it now? Is this the beginning of the end?
I think so. I do. I mean, again, I've said this, I think somewhere between, I don't think it'll happen before like 3 years, but I could see anywhere from 3 to 8 years, the NCAA not existing in its current format.
Okay. Right? In 10 years, do we have mid-major basketball teams playing in whatever the new iteration is of the NCAA tournament?
I hope so, but I don't know where it's going. I mean, I feel like if Greg Sankey gets his way here and some of these guys at the power conference level get their way, the commissioners and these people with power, they just want as many big boys as they can in the NCAA tournament. And again, while that's great at the end of the tournament, it's horrible for the tournament. It's hard. Nobody wants to see this. No, like other than, again, these guys that just want more money and more bids and all that for the tournament. Nobody wants to see this. What's the best part of the tournament, Rob? What's the best
first
part?
2 days? The first 2 days is the best part of the whole tournament.
It is. It's what everybody loves. Everybody loves St. Peter's beating Kentucky.
Except for the Kentucky fans.
Speaking of which, the Kentucky Wildcats have fallen off a little bit here.
They have. Before we get to them, though, you're not looking forward to like 13-9 Indiana taking on like 14-8 Mississippi State in a battle of the first round of the NCAA tournament?
No. No, that would be awful. That'd be awful. You know, again, my.
Well, how do we save this then? Like, how does this get saved? How do we not have this shitty iteration of the NCAA tournament?
You got a lot of power now, Rob. You need to use your voice.
I'm not the guy. The conference commissioners have to have some foresight into, okay, even though their best, and the problem is they're looking out for the best interest of their 10, 12, or 16 teams in their conference.
Yep.
But they're also running the show. So they can ruin this. They literally can ruin the NCAA tournament in the next 10 years.
Yep. I know. No, agreed. Agreed. Kentucky, quickly.
Things have changed very quickly.
They don't guard.
I had them in the Final Four a week ago, and now they're 102 in defensive efficiency.
I know. They don't guard at all. And John Calipari, I listened to his postgame the other night after their loss, and he's making it sound like DJ Wagner or Zach Edey. That like if they had DJ Wagner and they were healthy, it would be a different ball game. And
they've given up 94 and 103 in their last two games, and Tennessee scoring 103 is like giving up 175.
Yes. It's, I think a lot of people have gone from where they were like a contender to now a pretender, because you're not going to be able to do that in the NCAA tournament.
No, you've got
to
guard.
Is the, so bad.
The profile of teams that go far is not what Kentucky is rolling with right now.
No.
102 in defensive efficiency is terrible.
Well, especially because teams are going to learn, like, defensively, you just got to get back. You got to keep them out of transition. Like, if you can keep them out of transition, you actually can make their life. They're a good shooting team, and they were a great shooting team early in the season.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, they're going to have those nights where they're going to go 5 for 25 from three. And then if they can't stop anybody, I don't know who their plus defender is on their team other than like the kid, the arrow, like he's the only one. Like they don't really have a plus defender. So they scare the hell out of me. But again, like I understand when you lose two games, like you lose at home to Tennessee, okay, that's not the worst thing in the world, but you lost.
But I would just be the shocking thing is the score. If you lost 65-64,
I'd
be like, well, that's what Tennessee does. You know, they're physical, they guard the hell out of you. And the Florida game was OT. You know, that's 94 giving up an OT, but still, that's a lot of points.
I mean, they're 5-4 now in the league. Now they should blow out Vandy at Vandy, but like. What if they
can? Why that Gonzaga game is so random?
Yeah, I don't know why it's February 10th. I don't know why they're playing it so late. They did it last year too.
I thought it was like a disaster relief thing last year.
I don't know. They went to Seattle. They wouldn't. No, it was in. I'm sorry, it was in Spokane, but it wasn't at the Kennel last year. This one is obviously.
Wasn't it something happened though, and they were raising money?
Maybe I don't remember.
I thought it was, but maybe not.
You know, the only. I mean, you look down their schedule now, and it's like, all right, there's some wins on the table here. You know, again, you've got Gonzaga at home, Ole Miss at home. Those are two at Vandy. They should win the next three in a row before.
And Auburn away.
Yeah, I'm going to be at that Auburn game. That'll be a hell of a hell of a game.
Yeah.
All right, before we go, give me your honest thoughts on Michigan State. They've been very disappointing this year, very average. You just saw them again. You've seen them a bunch. Is this a team that can they be a factor at all if they, you know, not if they make the tournament, they're going to make the tournament. Can they be a factor, and how?
Well, I think their schedule does set up for them to go on a nice run here. They've won two straight. You've got Minnesota on the road. That's a big game Tuesday because Minnesota is playing better.
Yep.
You get Illinois at home, rematch of a game from a couple weeks ago, but it's on your home court. You'd have to feel good about that. Your road games going forward from that point on are at Penn State, at Michigan, who is in total disarray, at Purdue. They have not been successful at Mackey Arena for the last 25 years, and at Indiana. So other than the Purdue game, you feel good about your road contests, and then the home games are like Iowa, Ohio State, and Northwestern. So I think if you're Tom Izzo, you're saying we could definitely, there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 10 to go or 9 to go. They could go 7-2.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
they could do that, which would put them probably at.
But what has to happen? Like, forget about the wins and like.
No, I know. I'm just, my point was, I think their schedule is favorable going forward. Malik Hall has been really good since his 0 point performance at Northwestern. Yeah. That is a good thing. He is too talented to not be a guy that's scoring in double figures. Jay Nakin showed some real signs of life against Michigan. Yeah. They need him to be more consistent. The only guy that's been consistent is Tyson Walker. You know, Tyson Walker has been phenomenal. He's probably on the fringe of being a first team All Big Ten guy. Yeah. I would say he's battling it out with Marcus Damask right now. I just think that they're limited. They're not going to get back to the basket scoring, even with Jackson Kohler coming back outside of Malik Hall. That is no.
Kohler's barely playing, right?
I know. Look, Tom Izzo has a variety of bigs he can go to. If he wants one that can shoot, he throws out Xavier Booker. If he wants a guy that can score with his back to the basket, it's Jackson Kohler. If it's just rebounds, set good screens, that's going to be Sissoko and Carson Cooper. Yeah. I just think this team is what they are. You know, they're solid. They're okay.
Yeah.
But they're not. For them to make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament would be an achievement at this point. That's the way that I feel about this group.
Crazy, but probably true. Crazy, but true. All right. Listen, thanks for joining us. Another episode of Goodman and Hummel in the books. Make sure you subscribe. And if you have any complaints this week, please send them to Hummel. I dealt with enough last week.
I'm going to check out some amateur documentaries, I think, this weekend. Yeah. That's going to be my plan.
Let me know how that goes. Let me know how that goes. All right, we'll see you next week.
Goodman and Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.